Hello, everyone. I'm Sergeant Major of the Army, retired Dan Daly, and welcome to this edition of Soldier Today Podcast. Soldier Today Podcast is a product of the Non-Commissioned Officer and Soldier Programs Directorate at the Association of the United States Army. Soldier Today subjects focus on those topics that are relevant and needed by our soldiers and their families serving the regular Army, the Army National Guard, and the Army Reserve. Our newest discussion topic today covers a broad range of hot topics that are on the minds of our soldiers and leaders every day. The hot topics include updates on our merit-based NCO promotion systems, This Is My Squad initiative, Soldiers Barracks, the ACFT, AGSU, and spouse feedback. Each of these hot topics have been in the news and continue to evolve and move forward. All of these subjects directly impact soldiers and leaders as our Army continues to improve. So these are great subjects to discuss, and the best person to have the discussion with here in our studio today is our Sergeant Major of the Army, Michael Grinson. Sergeant Major, welcome.
Yeah, it's really great to be here. And I can say Dan.
That's right. That's, kind of nice. That's all.
So, no, and you always be the SMA to me. But it's an honor and privilege to be here with you today.
Well, it's great to have you. And it's great to have you and the team here today at the Association of the United States Army Headquarters. And I know I look forward, just like the soldiers do, to hear updates from you today. So let's dig right in, if you don't mind, Sergeant Major. Sure. And we'll dig into some questions here. So I thought today we'd start with the subject of merit-based promotions for our senior non-commissioned officers. This initiative started this past year, and we have since moved through the first promotion board. And what has the Army learned from the most recent Sergeant Major evaluation, OML?
Yeah, we learned a lot. You know, it depends on what part of the brain you want to use. You want to use logic or emotion. It became very emotional. And it's for all the right reasons. It's what we should have done for a long time. We got a merit-based promotion list. That's what we were doing, where it was, well, what we weren't doing it by merit. It was by time and service, time and grade, and you figure that out. And I think everybody, you know, has kind of come on board and agreed with that. But then when we did the first list, we looked at Master Sergeant promotables all the way to Brigade CSMs. So the biggest learning point was, you know, if I'm in my skill, I'm 11 Zulu E9 at the brigade level, and I'm going to have my list, I'm going to be on that list with, you know, a Master Sergeant just out of the academy. So we kind of learned some stuff because what we did on the first one, we just put everybody's number in the Army career tracker, which is good, but some people didn't understand what that number meant, especially the Sergeant Major. I'm a Brigade Sergeant Major. What's this number mean?
Yeah.
It's just a number. Yeah, that you're an E9, and then here's a number. But there were some numbers where, you know, maybe a Brigade Sergeant Major had a lower number than a Master Sergeant who had never been a Sergeant Major. That was emotional. That's where that logic versus emotion comes in.
And it's easy to see why that would be emotional.
Yeah, it was emotional. Like, what do you mean I'm lower? But what I tried to explain is when you're looking at the records, that Master Sergeant is compared to all the other First Sergeants. And he was great First Sergeants. But we're not comparing him to another brigade-level CSM.
Yeah.
Where all the other brigade-level CSMs are being compared against all the other brigade-level CSMs. So when you read that NCOR, it may say, you know, number 3 of 6 brigade level CSMs, but you're still a brigade level CSM and you're really good. You're really talented. And some of them may be on the nom list or come out on that later. But you can't compare apples to oranges. So I think that number really confused somebody, because when you get your records voted, you're compared to all the other Sergeant Majors. I'm a brigade Sergeant Major. I'm 3 of 6. I'm a Master Sergeant getting compared to all the First Sergeants. I'm number 1 of 30. And then my number's higher than the Brigade Sergeant Major. And that people were emotional.
Yeah.
So my point to them was, don't get too emotional about it. You're still the Brigade Sergeant Major. You still have a right to mentor your people. That Master Sergeant is not going to be a Brigade Sergeant Major. We're getting looked at for other Master Sergeants. So I think we're going to relook on what number we're going to publish. Yeah. And how does that compare to everybody else? Because it's totally separate, but we gave everybody a number. So that's probably one of the biggest lessons learned on the E9 is what that number means to each group. And since some had different numbers than others, but they weren't compared in the same population, but the 11 Zulus got one number, it really confused people. So yeah. I think we're going to relook that. We're going to see and exactly explain to the field what exactly that means.
Yeah, yeah, because they all have their own PDPC code. And that's who they're being evaluated, the same PDC code.
Right.
So, yeah. But I can see where the confusion would be. Understandable by the field, right? Just take some explanation. Well, good. What about the SARM First Class and Master Sergeants? What are you hearing out there, SMA?
Oh, it's really good. Everybody, you know, that's just, you know, I'm being compared, and finally, you know, I get promoted on based on my merit and not, you know, time in service, time in grade. I'm just going to get promoted if I'm doing well. I'm going to be at the top list and get promoted faster. And it's only taken us, you know, 244 years plus to figure out that we should do it on talent, not how long you've been hanging around.
Absolutely. And is it safe to say that this is, there's plenty of room in here to make a left to right correction if you need to in the future and you find out that things aren't going right?
Oh, absolutely. Like, that's one of those things. Like I said, I just kind of laid out one of the things we learned from this first one, defining what that number is. Do we even give you a number if you're a brigade sergeant major? You know, put it in there. Yeah. Do we just say, you know, that's how you ranked with all the other same PDPC codes of your like equivalent? You know, maybe we change that up. So there's a lot of, you know, a lot of things we're going to learn. You know, the first time you do something, you know, first time you went for a run, probably didn't run a, you know, an 8 minute mile or for 2 miles.
Yeah, okay. Absolutely.
We'll see.
All in the best interest of our non-commissioned officers. And I'll tell you, I'm behind you 100% SMA. This is the right thing to do. It's about time that we start promoting based upon merit. So let's switch gears, Sergeant Major. And, you know, so I've been excited to talk to you about this. And I've heard about your initiative, and you've been working on initiative to improve ownership and empowerment of our junior non-commissioned officers. And so can you tell us a little bit about your This Is My Squad initiative and what it focuses on?
Yeah, I'm really excited about this. Every time, you know, I hear about it, I just get, you know, I get really excited. It's just kind of changing how we look at, it's not just, you know, sometimes I even think it's not just about, you know, being in the Army or being in a squad. It's about, you know, how do you look at your life almost? You know, this is my squad. Sometimes I key in on the personal pronoun, my, shows ownership. So first of all, take ownership for what we do. This is my squad, whether it's my squad leader or my squad. It can go up, it can go down, it can go left, it can go right. So a positive outlook that shows ownership in what we do. And I want to focus in on the other thing. That positive is, you know, we can always get to a situation and go, let's step back and see what all the negative things that led to this event. That's, I just want to completely get rid of that almost and say, let's take the best example I've been giving people on This Is My Squad and how to have a positive mentality. Or if I had a suicide, what do we normally do as an Army after a suicide? We bring everybody together and we're going to have a class about suicide.
Yeah, focus on the negatives.
Yeah, it's like, well, you know, why do we do that? And I said, well, why don't we do things that reminds people what how great it is to be alive? That's the positive attitude.
That's right.
Let's go bowling. Let's go play golf if that's something you love to do. What makes it where you wake up in that day and say, I love being in the Army? And then go do those things and you focus in the positive. So This Is My Squad focuses on the positive aspects of being in the unit. And the second thing that I really want to clarify is the term squad. When I first said it for the first minute, I said, oh, I'm sorry, I'm not an infantry squad. I said, I know, you got to just say. So there's a whole bunch of commercials. And every time I hear somebody go, this is my squad, I actually heard it on the TV the other day. It was a spouse on a TV show. And she goes, yeah, and this is my squad. Like literally said that. And that's what it means. It means to be in a squad does not mean an infantry squad. It's the people that you trust the most that are around you, that know you. You go to breakfast together. You go to lunch together. You train together. That's what my squad does. And then anything changes in that, I know my squad. I know where they live. I know their families. I know their personalities. Anything is off, you're like, you know, that didn't make any sense. For people that, you know, aren't tight with their squad, whatever definition of squad is, you may not notice those little changes.
Yeah.
So sure. I was talking at breakfast the other day with a soldier, you know, round table, and he goes, I love the violin. You know, I used to play it, and I got this really expensive violin. I said, oh, yeah, that's really neat. Thanks for sharing that with me. And so this is the example. I said, if you didn't know he loved the violin, and he all of a sudden sold his violin, you know, you wouldn't know. You're like, you're like, oh, you're selling a violin. I don't know. Is it a good violin? I don't know. But if you know your squad and you're positive,
you were like, wait a minute, you love that. You know, we can't do that. Why are you doing that? So first is number one, positive attitude of what you is. Squad doesn't actually mean an infantry squad. It just means that team that you're really close that you got to look out for. And you may be member more than one. I would actually consider my family my squad. And, you know, for me, the chief of staff of the Army and the secretary of the Army and the vice, that's another squad.
That's a great point. Yeah, multiple squads.
Yeah, you know, those people you look out for because they're a part of your squad. And you train together and you share hardships. And you're very positive. So that's the basic premise of the squad. And some people heard something different, but those are the two biggest things. You have ownership and it's a positive outlook on life.
I'm a big fan of it. I mean, as you know, it's about empowering the individual to realize that they're responsible for these young men and women, our nation's finest, of which are given to us by America's mothers and fathers. And the expectation from mom and dad is that you're doing everything you can, a better job than them, of taking care of them while they're on your watch. That's right. Yeah. So I'll tell you, I'm excited about the This Is My Squad initiative. And from our association, we're going to get behind it 100% and find out ways that we can help you promote that initiative, Sergeant Major. So let's change gears again, Sergeant Major. And so we've seen an increased focus on quality of life initiatives. You see it on the news. It's a topic, and it's quite prevalent in some cases. But one of those focus areas for you has been the barracks. So what is your focus across the Army for the barracks right now, Sergeant Major?
Well, first of all, let's go back to my squad. It's your squad. Go visit where your squad lives. If they live in family housing, they live in an apartment, they live at the barracks. Go visit your squad. That's number one. I'm going to visit your squad. You can either control where that bullet, you may not actually control where it's going. It's going to happen.
You don't want the SMA to be the first one to visit the squad either.
It's up to you. Good luck. It's great. Very positive. We're coming out to visit the barracks. And that's one of the things. We've been busy. You know, we've been busy for 18, 19 years now. Yeah, yeah. And guess what? We're still going to be busy. But in my squad, we visit the barracks. And my job and my responsibility is make sure all the funding is required that we can do the restoration and modernization to get the military construction and get our barracks up to a certain level of standard. So that's one of the reasons I want to go to make sure, do we have the funding and the funding streams? Are we going to the right spot? We put a lot of emphasis on family housing, and it is needed. And we're going to make that better. We messed that up, and we're going to fix it. But we are not going to take our eye off the ball because there's more than one family housing because the other one is barracks and we own it and we can't point a finger at anybody else. And we're going to continue to make sure. And the only way I can do that is I go out and visit. But I challenge every NCO in the United States Army to get out and visit your squad in the barracks because there is a funding and stream and we're going to get that right. But then there's just a leadership piece that we're going to check on our soldiers, make sure that they live the right way.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that, Sergeant Major. And you mentioned family housing, too, because a big component is, you know, we say we enlist a soldier, but we retain a family in the United States Army. And we have a responsibility. We made some mistakes, and I'd be the first one to admit them. And, you know, the secretary has been on up at Congress and said that we make mistakes. And we're not a perfect organization, but we are a learning one. Can you tell us some of the things that we're doing to improve programs for families to include housing?
Yeah, well, the one for family housing is we're trying to see, you know, can we get them to kind of reprogram, you know, the money model? Can we reinvest in family housing, try to get millions back into the money so that we can actually start building some of the houses? That's one of the things that we're looking at is how do we get the funds to build more family housing? The next one is, you know, it's all in the craze is the Bill of Rights. Is as a tenant, what are my rights as a tenant?
Right.
We're still working on the Bill of Rights. I've kind of seen some drafts and what does it mean to be a tenant in family housing on a military or federal installation, not owned where it's leased housing. We're close on that. And the second one is if there were a problem, is what's going to be the move out? So if I move out because I have a problem in my house, you know, what do I get? You know, do I get to go back to my house? So what's the standard operating procedures? If there were an issue in my house, do I go to a hotel? What kind of hotel? Do I get money? Yeah. Where's that money coming from? So just have a standard, because without a standard, you know, one location, they do great. Another location, you know, I get this. So what is that? So we're working, it's going through the headquarters right now on what the standard operating procedures are. If you have a long-term need in your house where I'm going to have to fix something that's going to take a minute, what are we going to provide you? And absolutely, what does that look like? Yeah. And it's not going to be exactly the same for everybody, but I think at least having an SOP is a good start. So the big two for me, other than the funding, is going to be the Bill of Rights and the SOP for when soldiers or families have to go back and move out of their house.
And Sergeant Major, that's great. That's a phenomenal point. And tying it back into your previous one with This Is My Squad, I mean, that's squad leader business too, right? I mean, being in the barracks, but not just the barracks, but in family housing as well, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I think it tries to, how do you receive, again, positive attitude, how you show ownership in your squad is when somebody, how do you receive people into your organization? Mm-hmm. And when somebody comes in new, you say, well, where are you living? You know, let me go see how you're doing. You know, the way I did it, you know, probably in much better ways, but I would just say my wife and I, when I was a young first sergeant, we're going to stop by. We're going to bring some cookies and say, welcome to my organization.
Yeah,
because you're in my squad.
It doesn't have to be a standby for inspection.
No,
right?
It's not. Yeah. No, that never worked. And never worked. We would never even try that. My wife wouldn't even let me get away with that. but we did. We just said, hey, we're going to stop by. We saw where you live, make sure it was good. You received a house that was in good working condition. Welcome to my organization. You put a name with a face. And you're not waiting for something bad to happen. You just come out and visit. So it's all about being in my squad. I could just come out and you would receive people in your organization. You say, hey, I just want to come out and welcome to the family.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that, SMA. And that's important. Leadership is it's about everything in the Army. That's where it ends and begins. So let's switch to another topic, Sergeant Major, that I know that every soldier, young and old, enlisted officer, warrant officer in the United States Army has been focused on for some time, and I guarantee is focused on in the future, and that's the ACFT. Where are we with the ACFT, Sergeant Major? What's going on?
Well, first of all, take the ACFT. Take, you know, so we still need it sounds simple, but we actually need the data to make an informed decision.
Yeah.
And once you take the ACFT, please put it into DTMS. I know you may not like the digital training management system, but I need to have the data to make an informed decision. So we have folks that are taking the ACFT, but if you don't put the ACFT in a system record, we don't have the data to see, do we have the standards correct? Is it too high? We've already made one adjustment. We made several adjustments. The old APFT, we made adjustments on that too. And people will forget. I don't forget, because I know when I was 1721, I had to run 1154.
I did too.
The max.
I
did too. So that was not a jaunt. That wasn't a stroll.
82, 92, 1154.
Yeah, there you
right?
go. That's right. So we made adjustments to the old APFT because that was a data informed decision. Yeah. We're going to do the exact same thing with the ACFT. But right now, the exhort said take two ACFTs. I need you to take the Army Combat Fitness Test, and then I need you to input the data. And I don't have any data. I feel like people want to get, you know, I want to get the perfect score and I want to pass. I want to get it right. And then I'm going to take the ACFT. No, it's like going to it's a diagnostic. Just take it. It's like going
it's
to
year,
basic
right?
training.
I mean, it's
yeah,
a free
it's like
year.
Free year.
It's free
it's
year.
Like when you go to basic training, we don't ask you, you're going to take the APFT. We just give you the APFT. You may score zero.
Yeah.
And then at the end, you just go to 180. That's what, you know, that's what we used to be. But without taking the ACFT, we don't know where we need to go. And that's the biggest one right now. It's on everybody's mind. We see people, we are really changing the culture on this. The equipment's coming. Had a little issue with getting some of the equipment out.
Yep.
It's on the way. And the National, I think it was the Reserve commander, he's like, yeah, I had 7 sets of test equipment. And now I'm about to receive like triple of that all in like the next 30 days. And that's going to be hard to receive all that.
But you don't have to wait for equipment either.
You do not either. And I tell you what, okay. First of all, and if you're really hard up, beat my score. It's 552. I think the whole Army knows that now. We posted it on the internet. So
I can witness that.
It's on the internet, must be true. the point is, I didn't use a lot of equipment, and I didn't put that out there. One of my favorite things that helped me out with the standing power throw and the deadlift is the standing power jump.
Yeah,
it's already in the manual. Depends on how many of those you do and how you put that little circuit together. The best website is you go to the website and you could just Google Army Combat Fitness Test. And there's YouTube videos on, I'm having trouble with this event. And it'll show you a YouTube video of what exercise in the PRT manual already that doesn't need any equipment will help you out with that event. But you're not going to know that you need that help if you don't take the Army Combat Fitness
test. That's right. Yeah. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to second what you're saying, Sergeant Major, is even for me personally, you know, you can ease your personal fears of the ACFT if you just take it. And it's not that bad, right? But we're all not going to be good at it the first day. I mean, even myself and you, and we all trained up to get a little bit better at it, right? So I agree with you. Just take the ACFT and some of your fears will be
And everybody gone. Thinks I'm, you know, I've told everybody, my deadlift when I first started this about a year and a half ago was 135 or maybe less. I was like, I don't know if I'll ever get, you know, I was like 225. That'll be impossible. I'm 50 years old. This is crazy.
What are you at now?
Oh yeah, I did with a straight bar on Monday. I did 315 three times.
Good for you.
And I did 335 once, and I didn't tempt anything. Yeah. It's like, Sergeant Major, what about those 5 pounds? I was like, well.
But you didn't do it overnight. That's important too, right?
This is years ago. As soon as we said ACFT, I started training.
A little bit of time here and there. Next thing you know,
you can get there.
That's good to hear. And I know that there's a lot of anxiety out there about it, but calm down. Take the ACFT. That's the message, right? Free year. Get your diagnostic. Figure out what you got to work on. And there's plenty of time to work on it, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Good, good. Well, let's switch to a personal one that's near and dear to my heart. And I think we'll end our last question of the day, Sergeant Major, and it's a fun one too. I've seen some more and more leaders now wearing the new Army Green Service uniform. Give us the update. Where are we at?
Sorry. Oh, everybody wants it. I'm sorry. You know, it's like if I had 100 of them, I could probably give out 100 every day. It was always interesting.
I'll tell you,
I've seen you and the chief on TV.
I'm a little biased. It looks great. It looks great. And the feedback I'm getting is you guys look great in it.
Yeah, we're still working through what we're going to wear and how it's going to look. We're going to talk about that actually today. But it's gone over really well. Right now, the plan is that we'll be able to out April, May, you should be able to purchase the Army Green Service uniform. So depends on how all the manufacturing goes. And so, you know, don't write that down. Sorry, Major, April. I mean, I'm buying them. But
they're not in the shop bag.
So, and this is like any program that we have. Yeah, it's going to be out in April, but it doesn't mean it's going to be in your camp post station in April. It's going to start at one location, just like when we did this summer, the Army Combat Uniform. You know, we started one location. It's not going to be, we've got 1 million copies of this thing.
And they've got time, right? So, I mean, the soldier doesn't have to wear it the next day it comes out, right? I mean, they've got plenty of time,
it's
right?
It's years.
Years. Yeah, good.
So, most everybody that's in wants to know, when can I buy it? So that's the biggest question I get. When soldiers that are coming in will start getting those issued. And again, if all the protection rates go this summer. But right now, most of the people, questions I get, when can I buy it? So it's going to be out in April, but like anything we change and y'all want it, it's not going to be right there. It's going to take us time to get, we'll start one location and grow out from there. So it will take a long time. Not a lot of time. The industry will go as fast as they can.
Absolutely.
Because there's a high demand for this uniform.
And we're a big Army.
We are
big Army.
So it's going to take a minute.
Well, Sergeant Major, the last question is just, what do you want to tell the troops?
Well, like always, I'm extremely proud to be their Sergeant Major of the Army. So it goes with my squad. And one of the proudest moments the other day was, I was at the senior leader forum and he said, you're my Sergeant Major of the Army. That kind of goes with, this is my squad. So I don't want to be the Sergeant Major Army. I want to be your Sergeant Major Army, and I want to represent all the troops. I'm extremely proud of this opportunity that I have. I'm extremely proud to represent all the troops, and I enjoy, the best thing that you can ever do is Sergeant Major Army. Get out and visit the troops that you're out there. What we're doing, we're still a nation at war. We still are losing soldiers, and it's always tough. I want to remind everybody, we still have soldiers in harm's way. I'm proud to be their Sergeant Major Army. We still got soldiers in Army, but our Army is ready and they're well-trained. They do a great job every day, and I'm very proud of them.
Well, thank you, Sergeant Major. From my point, we're lucky to have you, Sergeant Major. So thank you for being our Sergeant Major of the Army. Well, ladies and gentlemen, our time has come to an end to close this edition of Soldier Today podcast. All of us here at the Association of the United States Army want to thank Sergeant Major of the Army Grinston for joining us today for this great update on many of the ongoing initiatives across the Army that you are concerned about. As an Army alumni, I can say from all of us across the country, thank you to all of our soldiers for what you've done and what you continue to do for our nation every single day. And Sergeant Major, thank you for leading these great soldiers. God bless each and every one of you. Thanks for your time.
To all our listeners, thanks for joining us. Be sure to subscribe to the Army Matters podcast on iTunes and everywhere podcasts are found. Join us next Monday with a brand new episode of Army Matters with Army Real Talk. The Army Matters podcast series is brought to you by the Association of the United States Army, the U.S. Army's professional association, member-supported, Army-connected. Visit us at AUSA.org for more information or to become a member. Your membership helps AUSA continue to carry out its mission to educate, inform, and connect with the total Army, our industry partners, and our supporters of a strong national defense. For questions or to provide topic recommendations, email us at podcast@AUSA.org. Have a great Army Day. Hooah.